listened to every single podcast on oneofus.net. What do I do now?
Well, first of all, how is that even possible? But secondly, I think I have a solution for you, Chris.
There can be no solution, Brian.
There is a solution, and that solution is our newest sponsor, Audible.com. Guys, if you haven't tried Audible.com, now is the perfect time to do that. We're talking about content that includes over 150,000 audio programs. We're talking about books on digital, audio dramas, broadcasters, magazine and newspaper publishers, all the greatest stuff you can possibly imagine in one place just for you.
Okay, that actually does sound pretty good.
Doesn't that sound great? And you know what? I'm going to make it sound even greater, Chris, because they are officially, Audible is officially one of our sponsors here at oneofus.net. And as a special gift to you guys, Audible is giving away a free audiobook. All you have to do is click on the link at the bottom of this page, or you can go to audibletrial.com/oneofus.
You mean to say that by clicking on audible.com and downloading their free book, they make sure by listening to that audio that we keep making more audio as well?
That's right, and the cycle continues.
Smell what the Rock is bringing? He's ignoring all of California while he forgets about his job and saves his wife and daughter.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the plot of this movie. So that's it.
Yeah,
bye,
we're done.
Everybody.
Bye. Oh, we're done.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, this isn't an aftershock. Oh, it's a entirely different plate thing.
It sounds like you're coming right now. Well,
yeah,
wouldn't you be?
He just watched 2 hours of The Rock. I already did like 4 times.
Wait, Elliot, why are you so familiar with what it sounds like when Joe's about to be coming?
That's for another time.
Because
I got my own religion.
These jokes are as badly written as the script for this movie, I swear to God.
You know, I gotta say, The Rock's wife in this movie, kind of a fickle bitch.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The entire Western Seaboard is under attack, and she wants to bring up some family shit at a time like this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it's better than playing slug bug on a road trip.
That is true. All I'm saying is I'm out here, The Rock. Just in case, you know, you decide maybe she's a little too fickle.
Need somebody else to
yeah, exactly.
You'll be the rebound girl.
Yeah, sure, why not? I got
you'll
chickens.
You'll be rolls.
And let's face it, everybody from California is already moving to Austin anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
After the San Andreas, like, you know, fault explodes and everybody starts dying, then The Rock will be like, after he'll obviously survive, because
obviously.
He's The Rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could be slammed between two tectonic plates and he'd still be like, that tickled.
Well, he just survives because he's an actual rock at this point.
He's
turned into the thing.
Physically made out of granite. Yeah. He looks like it still, but yes, we are reviewing San Andreas. I'm Chris.
Ashley.
Elliot.
I'm Joe.
And this is a disaster movie that wants you to never forget that it's from the family of disaster films that came before it by hitting every cliche for disaster movies that exists.
Yeah, but they hit the cliche in a very comfortable way, like a way that it was like, you know, they know this. And for me, like, it felt like they were just steering into the skit. That they were like, this is shit that we gotta say because this is what people want. It's a summer movie. We're gonna hit all the cliches.
No, you're right. You're right. It was a dinner party where everybody knows each other and hates each other.
So they naturally invited Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
Well, everybody hates Giamatti.
That's
he brought Pino.
I don't think that's enough of an excuse. I think you could make a disaster movie that still has some of these cliches and yet mm-hmm. still doesn't have a script that's rock bottom.
Yeah.
Barely trying dialogue. Well, I mean, there was like at least 7 or 8 times in this movie that right before somebody said something, I said it because I. I knew that's what they were going to say next.
Well, there
like,
was
Paul Giamatti goes, who should we call? And there's this big pause, and the music goes up on him, and I'm just like, everybody.
I think we should clarify, too, that Chris said that along with the entire theater,
which
included a 7-year-old little boy sitting in front of me.
Exactly. You're like, okay, this is not what I would call. I mean, it's disaster porn is what this is. And that's fine, but don't, you know, tell me this is my prom date when it's not. It's a hooker my dad bought.
Why can't that be both?
Yeah. They're not mutually exclusive.
Clearly,
just more fun at the end of the night.
You weren't born in Idaho like I was. Our options were limited.
Wait, oh, were you saying you were my prom date? You said Idaho,
no,
so
that,
I wasn't sure.
My dad bought me a hooker like the caring father he is.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I watching this movie, I was just actually mentioning this to you. I was worried they were going to blow their wad a little early because it's like a 2-hour movie, and they started blowing some shit up pretty quick.
Right off the bat.
But yeah, it keeps going. They find bigger and bigger things. Well, I thought they were going to have to, like, go to Mumbai. they're going to run out of tall buildings.
Well, that's the way these things always work, though. There's always the initial one. Boom. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, crap, that was, whoa, what happened? Shit, we're going to go clean up. And then there's the mid-movie one, the boom. And they're like, well, that's got to be the one.
Then the mugshot.
But then they're like, oh, shit, the big one. It's the T-Rex sound in the glass of water. It's, you know.
It sounds like you're talking about porn.
This movie ends with like it pulling up out in outer space, and I can't be the only one who thought you were going to see the Independence Day show.
Yes, yes.
I was worried about a viral outbreak related to the tsunami that caused the tornadoes. Oh,
sea zombies.
There's one character who's dead and brought back, and did you immediately think they were going to be a zombie?
You know, I have to say though, all of that aside, there was one plot point that I mean, unbelievable. Nobody would divorce The Rock.
I wouldn't divorce The Rock.
No, of course you wouldn't.
He would hold me, make me feel safe.
Aww.
In the story here, he is a L.A. fire department rescue helicopter pilot.
Oh, you mean LAFD? Like everybody knows about?
Yes.
And is mentioned on the national news ad nauseum?
Oh,
they
why
are?
Why am I being made to feel bad about this?
It's like with the NPR voice. You uncultured
weird.
Adult.
I don't know what just happened. Are you upset that I didn't know the acronym off the top?
No. What I'm saying is they injected that. They kept dropping that name all the time. It's like, because everybody knows about
that. I see. Okay.
I think it was retaliation for the NYFD.
He's supposed to be the best of the best. They set up me and my team. We came from the war and we just stayed together because we're that badass. Which would make sense to set up if the rest of this movie was going to follow with the team working together.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Who are never in the movie again this.
Step one, when your team is in some sort of high-risk situation, you go off and do something selfish and leave your team.
Hey, okay.
Like, drive your boat over just bodies of people who need help. Like, fuck them.
It is selfish, but one of the plot points is he lost his daughter to drowning, so he's probably not thinking of a logical mind.
He's passing all his daughters.
He lost his first daughter.
Well, fuck him. That's not his daughter.
He lost his first daughter to drowning. Now he's got Alexandra Daddario, which only proves your point, Ashley, about like those genes. Damn, there's something
about those
perfect.
Yeah,
I heard a quote from The Rock that he said on a movie set. They asked him, "Well, Rock, is there anything you can't do?" He's like, "The only thing I can't do is make white babies." Look like he made a white baby here.
Yeah, she's pretty white.
It's like, did any of those genes? Was the postman coming by?
Wait, like, see, you're looking at The Rock. I'm looking at Alexander Daddario. I'm getting nervous saying her name.
Because
she's lovely.
I was finally a convert to 3D. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, but there is a part with like her low cut top. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, that's why she's in this top.
But the cliche, the biggest cliche that drove me crazy here was like, and there's like two kinds of disaster movies. There's one with the innocent lovers caught in the middle of a storm and what will happen, the Titanic archetype. And then there's the old rugged professional guy who either is the warner of what's going wrong. Sometimes that's a second character, like it was in this one, or he's just the best of the best, caught in the middle, forced to do the best job he can, and it's always with an ex who they clearly still
this
love.
This time he's a Warner brother.
Oh, were you thinking of Twister? I was thinking of Twister.
There's a lot of movies with this.
Also, I think they actually got that tire from the trailer that never made it into the movie.
Right.
I think it was in this movie.
It could have been.
I mean, good for it.
I just expected the guy from Day After Tomorrow to show up in the middle of the movie. He's like, oh, wrong movie.
Right.
I was looking for my son.
Well, so a big problem that I had with it, but I have to give a little background.
You only get one, you just said.
All right. So my grandfather was a firefighter. My dad flew helicopters and planes. And my mother is a fault line. So through the transfer of property, I know how to handle this exactly, just like the daughter did. I mean, just because your dad happens to be the best rescuer ever Just knowing it means you know exactly everything
well,
to do.
I will read between the lines enough to say their previous daughter died in a scenario, yeah. and he probably spent a lot of time prepping her for emergency situations after that.
Well, and I will say, like, I can buy for a dollar that, you know, you're going to pick up a few things. Now, they sort of stretch that a little bit too far.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
Not a hardwire landline. Just a couple things here and there.
Like, they set her up in the situation where, like, she's in a limo that's slowly being crushed in a parking garage. Even though, if you notice, the thing that was, like, landed on the limo was on the very front of the car. There was only tiny little things on the top.
Yeah.
But they kept setting the camera up so it looked like whatever was on top of the car was crushing down gradually. And then they pull back and there was nothing on the fucking top of the car. So I was like, why is the car crushing in? Yeah. I don't even understand. But anyway, she's rescued by a cute British boy and his little brother.
Yeah.
It's like let Ashley take it from here.
Yeah, he was there. He rescued her because her stepdad's kind of a creeper. I gotta say, I was a fan of the British boy.
What was his name?
Where is he?
Was someone to be Ben?
Ollie was the little boy.
Ollie, right? Hugo Johnstone Burt.
Yeah, I'm gonna allow that. With the most British name ever.
Yeah. Well, Benedict Cumberbatch is the most British name
fair
ever.
Enough, fair enough.
Yeah. So she's just Walt. Ashley thinks about that character.
Well,
yeah.
it's like the producers were playing bingo with stuff women are attracted to. It's like, okay, we got The Rock.
That's worth two squares.
We need a hot British guy now.
That's worth one.
So it's like, okay, we got him covered. Which is good to see, because, like, I mean,
they had Reed Richards.
And then they got Alexandra Daddario, and that was four squares, things women like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's things Chris
Everyone
likes.
Saying.
You know, I'm going to throw this movie a bone and say it did get one thing right, which is helicopters. Fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, well, real scary.
And one thing I got super right, helicopters have auto hover buttons.
Do they not? I don't see a reason why they wouldn't.
Well, it's kind of like actually holding a helicopter in a hover formation is really difficult.
Oh, okay.
It's like insanely difficult to do.
I must say, it is not anywhere near my list of talents of flying machines.
You know, funny thing.
Sorry.
Like his dad, my dad was also a helicopter pilot and mechanic, which is super weird. But my dad made me promise to never, ever get in a helicopter, ever, with anyone but him. And he says he doesn't get in helicopters.
Well, it's because they give the finger to the laws of physics. That's all they do.
Yeah, they really do.
Just go piss on Newton's grave.
A lot like this movie.
There's a lot of stuff in here, science-wise, that I'm like, I'm no expert at this sort of subject, but this seems suspicious to me. It's like the sequence where they're in this giant building that is, like, sinking as a tsunami comes out. It's like, it's sinking in the tsunami, but it's like, the water's not getting higher, the building's sinking. How is the building sinking?
Well, it's like buckling under the pressure.
On the ground.
Thermite.
Well,
jet fuel can't melt steel beams, Chris.
Yeah, I said it's thermite. It just...
I don't know, it seemed...
Fishy. Alex Jones!
Like I said, I'm not saying it's impossible, I'm just saying it made me go... Are you sure?
Let me say this. I think all of your critiques are valid. I really do. But I'm the type of guy that enjoys watching Day After Tomorrow. There's a part of my... And this is a really big cop-out.
Like when they run from the cold?
I know! That's so cool! Like, there's a part of me that just goes, fuck it, I'm watching a stupid-ass movie. All I need is just spectacle. And I stopped thinking of this movie as a movie. It's a ride. Mm-hmm. At the part where they're trying to crest over the damn wave... And then Tom Hanks from a different movie's boat shows up. Like, I'm like, okay,
but then
I'm
The Rock
ride.
Was the captain now.
Yeah, he's like, look at me.
But see, that's...
I'm the captain now.
But, you know, we can do better now. That's the thing. You can have spectacle and a good movie. It's not like it was 15 years ago where it was like, all right, well, at least I'm enjoying it for spectacle.
But see, the thing is, like, I agree with you that you can do better, but sometimes I don't want to do better. Sometimes I just want to watch a big, dumb ride movie. Like 2012, like I like watching that every now and then.
No, I enjoyed 2012 more because it went batshit insane.
Yeah.
That's why it was a better movie. It was like, you know what? Nobody's going to believe any of this anyway, so let's just do totally crazy insane shit. Like, okay, now you have me a little bit more there. This movie tried to, as hard as
it tried to play in the
middle ground there. And like I said, you could do all the big dumb effect stuff, which I don't mind. Most of it looked cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Credit to that.
Yeah.
The effects are good, and it's fun to watch some of that stuff. But why does the script itself have to be so terrible?
That is true.
That's what I'm saying, is like, I can't forgive that, because we just came from seeing fucking Mad Max, right? Where it's like 2 hours straight of carnage and cars blowing up and punks and craziness and post-apocalyptic, and it's an amazing film on every level. And this...
Yeah, I gotta admit, there's this one moment where The Rock's ex-wife, the kind of like female lead in it, not the daughter, but the mother, they're just, I think, in a plane or in a truck, I forget which, like running from the weather or something along these lines, and she literally just turns to him. He's trying to drive, and she goes... Do you ever think about our dead daughter? And he's just like, the fuck is wrong with you, woman? Like,
you're like, is this the time?
It's just like
practically running over bodies in the truck while they're having this discussion.
I'm trying not to have our next dead daughter, okay? Just give me a second here.
He's like, they've got like the Armageddon soundtrack on the radio.
Yes.
The comet's coming.
And so she stopped bitching at him. It's like, can you drive a little slower already? You're making me nervous. Look, I chipped a nail.
I also like
this. She's awful.
They were always the eye of the storm. like when they were in the bay.
Right.
And everything around them is just going to shit. But they're, you know, it's a little choppy, but it's not bad.
No, that was what was the first thing that really made me go, bullshit, was when there's an earthquake, massive, as they said, biggest earthquake in California history. Just happened!
9.7.
No, ever.
And the water in California is placid.
It's like
crystal clear, just totally like just not a ripple in it. And you're
and the tsunami went the wrong way.
Yeah, in fact.
The tsunami went the wrong way.
Right.
But let's not worry about that.
No.
I'm curious, how did it go the wrong way?
So because all the action was going on the
Wait, deliver your best Paul Giamatti voice.
Because it's going from the San Andreas fault line.
You don't have to.
It's going,
he's doing it sideways.
It's going westward, so it's going to head towards Hawaii, where they talked about where it went when that Chilean...
Oh my God, you're right.
God, I love that. Anyways, now picture that voice, but it's talking about science with a straight face.
I tell you, the best thing about this movie is it's even this movie that has a whole bunch of shit that could never, ever happen has a line of reality. And the line is that Paul Giamatti cannot get with the hot reporter. That just is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I feel like there's a cut where they were like, no, they're not going to believe that. We got to take that out.
Yeah, no, not happening.
Like, I'm sorry, you helped a bunch of people and saved their lives and everything, but you're still a hideous troll.
You can get handy from the camera guy, but I'm not going to be there for it.
No reason to turn your nose up at that.
All right, let's go to final thoughts. Start with Joe.
I'm going to give it 3 baby bowls.
3 baby bowls?
You ever notice he's got that?
The Brahma bowl, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't paying that close attention to his rippling.
To the Rock, ever?
Rippling, sweaty muscles.
He's had it for like 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think about these things, I guess.
Well, he's in my
Man,
dream
he cut right to the chase on that
he
one.
He did. He didn't even talk about why. He's just like, 3, fuck you, go.
3 out of what, though?
Like 60.
Ashley?
Man, I was still trying to think of a hilarious scale to use. I didn't know it was coming my way so quickly. You know, it was easy to kind of pick apart this movie, but, you know, in a big way, Elliot's right. It was a lot of fun, and when the entire theater kind of delivered some of the lines, that was funny. I laughed a lot. I was into it. Again, it's 3D. I don't love that, but it still looked pretty good. And, I don't know. I think if you go in there knowing that this is more of Armageddon than Deep Impact, and that's really the best.
That's true. That would be the best describing,
That is an endorsement.
And if you go in like...
No, that's the reverse of an endorsement.
Favorite movie, baby.
Deep Impact
Elliot,
is better than
your
Armageddon.
Your favorite movie is Pacific Rim. Don't tell me it's Deep
number
Impact.
Number 3, thank you.
Wait, you love Deep
number
Impact?
1 is Armageddon.
Number 2 is Deep Impact?
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I know,
that
right?
Oh, no. Oh, no, Armageddon.
So,
he never would tell anybody until he found out Cargill liked it. Then he's like,
no, I used to tell everybody.
Finally admit it to the world.
Okay, question, Elliot.
Uh-huh.
There's 2 famous scenes where a woman slaps her hand up on a screen.
Yes.
There's one in Armageddon where Liv Tyler does that. And she's like, my dad's dead. And then there's one in another movie you love, Titanic, where Kate Winslet's like, I'm getting fucked. Which hand is better?
Oh, I don't like Titanic, so
you don't. You know, I would not have guessed that.
Well, there was wasn't there hand slapping in this
Titanic
one too?
Myself,
yeah, there's a lot.
Armageddon is garbage.
Yeah, it's just garbage.
I'm gonna watch it tonight. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's got Aerosmith in it, yes. Basically.
I just can't. I can never watch the animal crackers scene again.
So great.
But anyway, go back to
yeah, you. back to me. This is a little bit of knowing you, knowing me, Elliot. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'm so mean.
I know. Okay. Well, not to sell Elliot's opinion of Armageddon short, although that movie is garbage. If you go in there thinking it's a little bit more on the Armageddon side than the Deep Impact side, you'll actually have a lot of fun. If you can go to a place that serves beer and order some wings and watch this shit, I say do it. My only big complaint is that The Rock had to dive into water to save his daughter and do some swimming. He didn't have to take his shirt off. What's up with that?
That was weird. That was weird. The water scenes, and they're not going to let The Rock take his shirt off.
I know. Shoes, everything.
Well, but it was his fire department like rescue shirt, so you wouldn't know that he was rescue if he wasn't wearing the shirt.
That's true.
Come on, guys.
I know he's rescue.
Not your heart. You're everything.
You know what? I'm going to give this a 5 out of 10. I saw all this shit coming, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get to my thoughts on San Andreas, Deep Impact is a lame movie because Elijah Wood is horrible. So is Taylor Leone, so is Morgan Freeman. But moving on to San Andreas.
So you just named three really great actors.
Yeah. Awful.
They were horrible in the movie.
As opposed to the cast of Armageddon,
who were great.
Tommy Lee Jones, Liv Tyler,
Jones wasn't in it.
And the entire cast of Aerosmith.
Tommy Lee Jones wasn't in it.
I thought he was. No. Oh,
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Which one is Tommy Lee Jones
which
in?
By that point...
You're talking about Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton.
That's your easy to
because it's three names.
Which is the one where they... I think he is in a space movie, though.
Oh, Man of the House.
A Space Cowboy.
Space Cowboys. Yeah, and space Man of the Cowboys. House. Sorry, go ahead.
And Man of the Black.
But in terms of this movie, like, I like that it just went for the fences. It was so damn stupid. Like Ashley said, the audience was going along with it. There's a point at the end where they pull a Spider-Man from the first Spider-Man right after 9/11, and there's just a big ass American flag. And what do? And that's not a fucking spoiler because you know what's going to happen in this movie. Like there's no mystery. But I like it, and it was more like a ride. So I will give it 7 rock Samoan tattoos out of 10.
Yikes.
I'm glad somebody really enjoyed it, because I like to think at best go with Ashley's, you know, have some beers, watch people die and spectacular disasters. I mean, it's funny, the older I get, the less I want to see that, because I start flashing to all the actual news stories of thousands dying in disasters and go, this isn't as fun as it used to be.
Yeah, it's almost like carnage is sad.
Right? I have a hard time getting away from it in real life as I get older, I guess. But I still thought that you could do, as I said, you could do better than this. We expect better. And this is from Carlton Cuse, who usually writes pretty decent stuff. And it felt like he wasn't even trying here. Like, it was the laziest writing. Not at all. The only people who deserve any credit here at all are the effects department, who really put together a very convincing looking series of special effects of San Francisco totally getting ass fucked.
But, why you gotta say about San Francisco?
Oh, I didn't even think about that shit. Sorry. Sorry, San Francisco. Didn't mean it like that. I mean, it's always fun to watch The Rock. You know, he's
becoming a better
actor.
He's
very charismatic. But, I mean, even so, there's points in here where he's supposed to be, like, you know, really upset. And the guy can't even summon up a single tear. I mean, you're like, come on.
The Rock doesn't cry.
Yeah.
He cries so hard that it just evaporates upon impact.
I couldn't get past. I mean, the thing is, like, as much as I can admire the effects, how cool it looks, there was never any sense of tension for me because it hits every single note of exactly where you know this movie is going to go all the way through, which makes it a lot harder to enjoy. There weren't even any lines I can think of that were funny. I mean, even Independence Day at least made you laugh a lot when you were watching it. This was like, okay.
That's really true. It didn't really have any tension relievers.
Yeah.
Well, hit unintentionally funny lines is the problem.
Yeah, ones they were not supposed to be funny, but they were.
I mean, yeah, like, The Rock is just driving over floating bodies, like, welcome to San Francisco.
Like you said, like at the end, you know, the whole, and now we rebuild, was the funniest line of the movie because it was said with total seriousness, but it was just nothing but pure pandering to the audience that they know are the only ones who are going to see this anyway, you know?
So you're calling it a summer ride? Rockbuster?
No.
Yes. You have coined that term, and it is awesome.
There we go.
Loved it.
You're welcome, world.
I'm going to give it 4 out of 10 rock tattoos that I never noticed.
You were gazing into his eyes.
I was. They're dreamy.
Man.